encourage you to be here once again with all of you. First of all, let me just thank Pastor Philly for the kind invitation for me to speak in the church twice and at your camp. I shall return in 9 years. It was a good time at the camp, and those of you that didn't come, you missed a wonderful time of fellowship. And I'm very thankful to be in touch with some of your church members who are great master chefs. Most of all, you know, to get to know one another and to know that our brothers and sisters were touched up by the Word of God. And for those of you that didn't come for camp, just gist of what we shared, we talked about the need for us to grow spiritually. And that God does allow trials, difficulties to come into our lives, because it is through trials that we grow in the Lord. We also talk about the need to have godly disciplines as believers. If you really want to grow, we need to discipline ourselves to read the Word, to meditate the Word, to give ourselves to prayer, to give ourselves to cultivate. First thing, am I on? Yeah, I'm on. You hearing me alright?
Yeah.
Let's sing 1, 2, 3. Yeah, I'll sing. We need to give ourselves to cultivate good friendship, godly friendships that can help you in your walk with the Lord. And also we talk about the need to have the discipline of purity. As in these days that we are living, I think the words of Job is really needful. He says, Job 31 verse 1, I made a contract with my eyes that I will not look at a woman lustfully. I think in this internet era that we live in, it's a good contract to make with your eyes that you will not look at the internet lustfully. Amen. So that's what we dealt with at the camp. Now, this we also talk about the need to grow in understanding. We talk about how God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding. We mentioned that when you have understanding, you will grow in favor with God, favor with people. We talk about different areas of need to grow in understanding of the Lord. God says, let not man boast in how wealthy he is or how intellectual he is, but let him boast that he knows the Lord his God. Amen. And we talk about how we need to grow in understanding of our spouse, and grow in understanding of your pastor. He's not your coolie servant running around to do your biddings. You have to appreciate your pastor, so to speak. We talk about how we need to inculcate some practical areas to grow in understanding. Don't be judgmental of people. So quick, control your tongue, control your temper. Don't be easily offended, and don't be so hypersensitive. So that's what, in a gist, we talk about at the camp. If you want to know more, ask those who were at the camp. If they can't explain what they listened, that means they weren't paying attention. Well, this morning, I'd like to encourage us that we need to grow in contentment in our Christian life. Speaking from the words of the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, he says, I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. So this is one area I'd like to encourage all of us as believers in the Lord, that we grow in contentment in our Christian lives. I like the way Paul started. You know, it says, verse 11, I'm not saying this because I am in need. You know, some Christians, they know how to talk. And when they talk with hints. You get what I mean? They're hinting here and there. Oh, brother, please pray for me. I don't have enough money for rent. Just pray that the Lord will touch someone else. You know, not only they talk, but they raise their eyebrow. They like to hint here and hint there. hoping that you do something as a result of hearing their hints. But thank God the Apostle Paul is not such a dubious character to say things with hints. He said, I'm saying this not because I am in need. I'm just telling you the truth, and I want to give you the secrets to our Christian life. I like the way he writes, and I like the way he talks. Verse 12, he says, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. We need to grow in contentment. Paul says in 1 Timothy 6:6, for godliness with contentment is great gain. You have to be godly and contented. Then only there is great gain. That means there is not much gain if you are godly but discontented in life. That means a Christian may be godly, come to church every Sunday, clap their hands, read the Bible every day, attend prayer meetings every, you know, every week. But then, you know, he's not contented in his life or her life. If you're like that, Paul says there's no gain for your godliness. You've got there's little gain, but not great gain, right? There's great gain for those who are godly and contented. We live in a society that bombards us with advertisements to buy more and more things, isn't it? You turn on the TV, you turn on your Facebook, you turn on your TikTok, you turn on your whatever, and on social media, they want you, they will advertise. Now, before you can read just one interesting article, they pop up about 25 advertisements to lure you to buy things. We live in such a world, isn't it? Sometimes you read statements like this, 50 easy payments. Oh, what logic is that? If it is easy, it won't be 50 easy payments. I like what one pastor says, it's just saying 50 less painful payments. One time I saw this one is in Singapore on the TV. It come up, you know, with a nice car, and then this guy step out of his car. Oh, the look of prosperity and success in life. And then it shows everything he has done in life, and then he closed the door of his car, and then they zoom in on the emblem of the car, Mercedes-Benz. The message this advertisement is trying to tell you and me, you are not a real man if you don't own a Mercedes-Benz. God have mercy on us that drive Toyota or Hyundai. But that's the world! It lures you to think that if you have material things, you are successful, you are happy. Contentment in life will give you and I happiness. We are to enjoy the blessings of God and be contented. Listen to what Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 19 says. Moreover, when God gives someone wealth and possession and the ability to enjoy them, to accept their lot and be happy in their toil, this is the gift of God. Note the words that Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, he says, the ability to enjoy the blessings. There are people that are rich but cannot enjoy their wealth. Do you know that? Some people have plenty of money, big mansions, but they cannot enjoy them for whatever reason. What a pitiful state that is to be in life. And notice the next word Solomon used, to accept their lot. That means you are contented in where you are and what you are doing. If you are able to be in that situation, you will be a very happy person. And then he says, to be happy in their toil. That means to be happy in their work. This is the gift of God. Solomon says here, you have these three factors, is the gift of God. Here are some, you know, guidelines for happiness, which, you know, the Bible gives us many secrets to happiness. But here it says, just in the observation of people who have lived their lives, he says, live a simple life. You want to be happy? Let simplicity be your goal in life. Don't be too complicated in life. Spend less than you can earn. That means cultivate being frugal. No need to show off. That means if you can't afford, no need to buy. If that is what your mantra, so to speak, for life, you'll be a happy person. Like I said, I've seen young people, some of them, they can't afford it, they throw big banquets, and then they go on their wedding day in the limousine, and they borrow by the thousands. This is part of their married life. What a stress to enter. No wonder some of their marriages don't last too long. And of course, live a happy life. You've got to be grateful. Count your blessings, name them one by one. That's one of the old hymns that most of us will have known and that song. Hebrews 13 verse 5 says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Isn't it a good guidance from the word of God? Keep your lives free from the love of money. Not money. God has no issues with you having money. It's the love of money that Paul says is the root of all kinds of evil, and many people in their pursuit for it have destroyed their faith. The next thing, point secondly, is this: your happiness in life is not dependent on material things. Luke 12, 31 to 21 speaks of a man that came to Jesus to ask for help to settle family property dispute. Have you met families like that? I tell you, I've been to some funerals. Before the coffin can enter 6 foot underground, those who attended the funeral, they were fighting with each other over inheritance. What a life! I hope you don't have that kind of relatives. Jesus said to the man who came to him to ask him to settle the family dispute, he said to them, watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. What powerful words from the Lord Jesus. He says, be on your guard. And he's talking to these people who are wanting a lion's share of the wheel. And they're fighting and fighting. He says, Jesus, be our mediator, so to speak. And Jesus said, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. You are in this fight, dispute, because you have a greedy heart. That's what Jesus is saying. He says, a man's life that consists of how much possessions that he has. So when you're contented, you'll be happy. Be grateful for what you already have. It's a deception, brothers and sisters, to think, if only I have a bigger car, I will be happy. If only I have a bigger house, instead of 2 bedrooms, if I have 4 bedrooms, I would be happy. If only I have a better paying job, I would be happy. These are all delusions. Some people think, if only I did not open the first door, if only I opened the second door, I married her or him, I would have been happier. That's what some people think. If I look back in my life, and some of the girls that I like so much, and then they drop me like a hot pancake, and I look back, so many 40 years later, I said, thank you, Jesus, I did not marry that person. You should be thankful. Don't be deceived. If only I married that person, I'll be happier. If only I had that house or that car, I'll be happier. If only I had that job, I'll be happier. It's a delusion. You're not happy where you are at right now. There was an English newspaper that gave a competition with the statement, who are the happiest people on earth? So they want to get the answers. The good answers will get the first prize-winning awards. Here are 4 prize-winning answers of the happiest people on planet earth. A craftsman whistling while he's doing his job. Doing his craft. A picture of happiness. Then he says, a little child playing by the seaside, building sand castles. That's a picture of happiness. And he says, another winner is the mother after a hard day's work, giving her baby a shower. That's the picture of happiness. He says, another picture of happiness is the winning statement. He says, the doctor who has just finished a very difficult and dangerous operation and has saved a life. That's a picture of happiness. And he says, in all the competitions, not one mention of millionaires among all the answers. No mention of kings. No mention of emperors. Just this simple statement of true happiness. I think from the life of Solomon, we realize that pleasures, wealth don't satisfy. From the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon has plenty of money, plenty of pleasure, fame, and yet in all this pursuit, he admitted this vanity of vanity is like chasing after the wind. Concerning pleasure, chapter 2 verse 1, he says, I sit in my heart, enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. He says, I go all out to enjoy things in life. He said, at the end, you know, it's like chasing after the wind. Scripture says Solomon has 700 wives, 300 concubines, the richest man in his time, so to speak. And he says, all these things don't bring happiness, even multiple wives. Like I said to the camp, if I get to heaven, I want to sit down and talk to Solomon. Have a cup of cappuccino with him. How on earth you didn't go crazy managing 1,000 women? For me, I have great difficulty managing one. I mean, for example, my wife and I, we go out and eat. I said, let's go out for dinner. My wife said, you decide. I said, okay, let's go ahead, chuck with you. She said, I don't feel like eating chuck with you. Alright. Then how about let's go for steak? I don't like steak. See, you just told me, I decide, right? Everything I decide you don't like. That's life. Amen. Just one simple thing. What to eat can be complicated. Solomon had 1,000 of them. Woo. Concerning wealth. Chapter 2 verse 4, build houses, he said. I planted vineyards. You only can go and visit the vineyard. Solomon says, I own all of them. I made gardens and orchards. I made pools of water. So 2 verse 6. I've got servants. I've great possessions. I've cattle. I have more cattle than everyone who lived in Jerusalem before me. Chapter 2 verse 8. I gather silver. I gather gold. Chapter 5 verse 10. And he concluded, he that loves silver, and it will never be satisfied with silver. He that loves abundance will increase. This also is vanity. Silver prices is going up. Gold prices is going up crazy. Even then, Solomon says, he will never be satisfied. And he concluded in chapter 5 verse 15, as he came forth from his mother's womb, naked he shall return as he came, and he shall take nothing out of his hard labor, which he may carry away in his hand. And Paul echoed again in the New Testament, now naked we come, naked we shall live at this world. I like this statement that someone said, you know, many people spend their health for wealth, and later on they spend their wealth to get back the health. Isn't that true? Whole life they struggle, get more money, work hard, and then they get all the money they wanted. By the time the health is gone, and then they have to use all the money they've accumulated to get back this, you know, health that they once prized. Now they have to pay all the, you know, hospital bills and medical bills and so forth. What a life. So brothers and sisters, we got to recognize the limitations of wealth in this world. Money can buy you a house. It can buy you a home. Money can buy you a big, expensive mattress. It cannot give you sleep. Money can buy you medicine. It cannot give you health. Money can buy you friends. But you will not get true friendship. Wait till you are broke and you see who are your real friends. Money can buy you sex. But not real love. That's the limitation of wealth. The psalmist talk about chasing after the things of this life and losing sleep. Psalms 127 verse 2. Listen to what the Bible says. It says, in vain you rise up early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants his beloved sleep. He says, in vain, you wake up so early, and then you go to bed so late, and then through it all, you don't get any rest. What a lie. I got to know some friends, some relatives in Singapore, top-notch lawyers, half my age, earn probably about five times my age now. Yeah, half my age, much, much younger than me, they earn four or five times more money in life. But what is their life? They don't go home from office till midnight. And they rush home. I don't know whether they get any sleep or not. But by 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock, they have to clock in to the office. I'm thinking, what kind of life these people have? And they are really stressed out. No time for family, no time for leisure, and no time for God. What a life. Some of them are used to be attending churches, but now so busy in a career, no time for God. Now God is not against you and I working hard. You know, that's not the intent of this message. Proverbs 6 verse 6 says, go to the end, you that are lazy, that love to sleep. Consider its ways and be wise. So God is not advocating that you and I sleep and don't do anything, don't work hard, but He's just telling us the reality. If you chase after the things of this world, toiling and toiling, and yet no rest for your body, what a bad thing. It's not a blessing to work so hard, chasing after material things, that you have no rest, no peace, no contentment in life. Some people work two, three jobs just because they want to drive a more expensive car. Work two, three jobs just because they want a bigger house. And so when they lose it, they lose their health. What a lie. Psalms 1-7, He blessed His beloved, His sleeper. Hallelujah. Amen. Thirdly, be content like a baby in his mother's arms. Psalms 131, verse of David, my heart is not proud. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. Verse 2. But I've calmed and quieted myself. I'm like a weaned child with his mother. Like a weaned child, I am content. And it's a beautiful description of peace and quietness and contentment. We live in a time wherein there's great pressure for people to achieve great things, to be successful in life. There's abundance of seminar on how to be successful in life. They encourage you, dream big! Reach out for the sky! Don't be small-minded in life! Don't live a mediocre life! Dream big! As a result, people dream of doing great things. They want to be the next Elon Musk. The richest man in the world! They want to be Jack Ma, the richest man in China. Or Bill Gates of Microsoft. Don't think small, think big. That's what the world says. But what if you are not designed to be that great person? You'll be chasing an elusive dream. You'll be living your life unfulfilled, dejected, never contented, never happy. What if you are not the great politician? What if you are not the great CEO? Or a wealthy businessman, would you classify yourself a failure in life? The psalmist have a different perspective. He started off in 131 Psalms, verse 1 says, my eyes are not haughty. I don't live my life to be proud. In other words, don't look down on people when you are walking the journey of life, when you have money and position, there's a tendency to feel that you are one class above other people. I know a friend is a multi-millionaire. All right. Super, super rich. So one day he was going to his elite golf course. So after playing, he went to the toilet. Then he observed some of the workers using the elite toilet. So he says, you people are not supposed to use this toilet, you know? Then he went to the toilet to do whatever he wanted to do. While he was in the toilet, he heard the worker saying, "Some rich people think they own the whole world." He heard that. When he heard that, the Lord convicted him of his arrogance, of his pride. He came up, he went to the worker, says, "I'm so sorry for what I said. That's fine." At least he has the humility to apologize. That's what the Bible says. King David, so rich, so successful, my eyes are not haughty. Don't look down on people just because they have more money, higher position. Jesus gave the key to life and leadership. Mark 10:45, for the Son of Man came not to serve my people, but to serve other people. Mark 10:45, and to give his life as the ransom for. One reason why people want to be successful, they dream of being a great person, is because so that other people can serve them, isn't it? Because you see, he's a wealthy person. He's a top CEO. He's got chauffeured around. You know, people carrying his bags for him and so forth. You know, he's a pastor of a mega church. They have assistants that will carry the Bible. Some of these well-known preachers, they have someone carrying a towel when he preaches, he sweats. As he says, my thing is his sweat from his eyebrow. Isn't that wonderful? Wonderful. Well, that's what the Bible says. Some people just dream of wanting to be that person. But be contented. Don't have unhealthy ambition in life. It's okay to be ambitious, but don't have unhealthy ambitions in life that rob you of contentment in life and rob you of the happiness in life. Psalms 131 verse 1, David says, "I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me." He says, I don't, you know, daydream of things that are too big, too wonderful for me. When I was much younger as a preacher, I imagined, oh, it would be wonderful to be like that preacher. Can fill the stadium with 40,000 people, 50,000 people. I imagine myself preaching like Billy Graham. Bible says, hallelujah. Well, I've been serving in Kuala Lumpur, one of the fastest and biggest church in the 80s. We ran up to 3,000 people. Now looking back, I tell you, I like what David said. I don't concern myself with matters too great. You know why? You have a big church, the problems are multiplied 20, 30, 40 times. So now I'm very contented helping out in a small church with 70 people. So you want to think big? Just remember, bigness has its big problems also. What we need to do is live a simple life and not be concerned ourselves with great matters too great for us. If you want to imagine yourself to be the great mega pastor of a mega church, being served by people, think twice. I look back the last 15, 20 years. So thank you, Lord. You did not put me in that position. I think of mega church pastor in Singapore, City Harvest Church, Kong Hee. Sentence, charged for CBT, criminal breach of trust. 6 years in Changi prison. That is enough to break a person. I just read mega church pastor, Robert Morris, Gateway Church, 25,000 people at the stake. A few weeks ago, charged guilty. Pleaded guilty to molestation of a 12-year-old girl. Sentence, I saw a picture, policeman handcuffed this mega pastor, big time pastor in handcuffs. At his peak, he spoke to 100,000 people via the internet. Now, people are seeing him in handcuffs going to prison. So think twice, if you want to be the big guy, there are lots of temptation surrounding this people. That's why David said, I don't concern myself with matter matters too great for myself. I'm like a child, very quiet, like a child with his mother. I'm a weak child, I'm content. That's the picture of peace, contentment, quietness. The baby feeling the warmth of his mother. The baby knowing the protection of his mother. As believers, we will not find peace and rest until we are weaned, taken away from our selfish ambition, from the needless race of trying to be the next great person, so to speak, or the acquisition of material things that bring forth so much anxieties in our lives. May the Lord help us to be like the Bible says, we be like little children, so contented in His mother's arms. Hallelujah. That He says, I've calmed myself and quieted myself, so to speak. Hallelujah. No worry at all. The baby in his mother's arm is not worried that the baby neighbor next door is having a bigger toy. He's having more food. He's just happy that I'm with mommy. Hallelujah. Quiet down also from the noise of this world of materialism, this storm of worry, the wind of ambition, and the noise of greed, and pursuit of the love of money. May the Lord help us. And I hope this morning's message will stir us up. If you are a person that's never happy in life, this morning the Lord is speaking to you. Be content with what you have. Otherwise you will never be happy. Our happiness is not dependent on material possession. May the Lord help us be like a baby in the arms of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's all stand together.